This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Priya Liu. You're listening to Enterprise. As our country and the world continue to vaccinate citizens, work through lockdowns and other pandemic strategies, businesses fight to survive as employees lose their jobs too. The effects of the pandemic has been vicious and it continues to be so. Stepping up to help entrepreneurs and employees navigate this pandemic is Jeevan Sadevan, the founder of Leverage Lab, who provides a powerful and yet simple framework for everyone to put their businesses and lives to begin thriving despite the ongoing and continuing pandemic. Good morning, Jeevan.
Good morning. Good to be here, as always.
People are out of ideas, whether it is in growing their businesses or surviving in their jobs. How would you answer someone who asks, what's the strategy that will work no matter what?
Well, the first thing you've got to realize is you need a framework. So people need a framework on how they're going to build their success. What are the things they're going to do to build in their success? You see, most people are reacting instantaneously to what the environment is doing. For instance, they look at COVID numbers and they say, start to panic and say, oh no, is the world falling apart or things like that. So what you really want to have is a framework and then a system. You know, you work a system regarding that framework. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to provide a very, very strong framework that anyone can use to get success in their life. This is a framework that creates success. And whether you're an entrepreneur or you're an employee, you know, you could be a stay-at-home mom, you could be anyone. And this is a framework that can help you be very, very successful in any endeavor that you take on. So you need to put a framework such as this in place, and then you can start to move. Then you can start to move forward and you can start to get your success and not react to every little thing that's happening in the environment. So that's really important.
Right. Okay. Before you continue as well, right? You know, burnout, right? We're all experiencing this at every level, serious or not so serious. Right? What's your advice regarding burnouts?
The most important thing people can do when they're feeling burnout is actually to switch off. Switch off from, let's say it's work and you're feeling a huge amount of burnout in that area. Switch off. Switch off for a day. Switch off for 1 or 2 days. Just take a break. Take a break from things. Do something completely non-work related. And this is a challenge because many people find it very difficult to do that, especially entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurs often feel, oh, no, burnout is for the weak. You know, it's not for me, you know, that sort of thing. But the thing you got to understand is if you want to be effective, you have to be fully engaged and fully disengaged. So you need to learn how to disengage as well. So switch off from work, read a novel, do some painting, you know, just look at the scenery, listen to music. And then get back in again, get your recharge and get back in again, you know, recharge your batteries and get back in. So the reason for so much burnout is simply because people don't stop. They just keep at it, even on the weekends, late at night, and it just goes on and on. So I advise my clients all the time to switch off every now and then. You just switch off. And especially now when it's work from home, switching off is even harder. So there are no boundaries. So you've got to create a boundary where you can actually switch off.
All right. We're discussing the 7 steps for entrepreneurs and employees to thrive despite the continuing pandemic. Before we get into the 7 steps as well, right? Depression, that's another factor that's huge right now. There's little mini suicides, right? So what's your advice to people heading down that road? Do they recognize they're depressed?
Yeah, well, the first thing is, if you look at every culture where you see the cultures around the world, anywhere where lifespan is very long, they call them the blue zones and places like that. One of the most important and critical components of that is interaction with other people, social interaction. So if you've got depression, you'll notice one of the challenges with people who get very depressed is they isolate themselves. So my advice to people, if you're feeling some depression or even stress and you're feeling sadness, depression, anything along those lines, connect with people. Pick up the phone, you know, talk to someone, talk to friends, talk to anybody that you can trust, that you could work with. There are even facilities that you can contact, like the Befrienders and things like that. But the idea is don't isolate. Don't isolate yourself. And that's really the problem, you know. So people think I can fix this on my own. But you know what? Everyone needs to connect. And we are social creatures. And we need to have that social connection. So I really encourage people to really connect, especially now, you know, when you're home all alone. Connect. Pick up the phone. You do a Zoom call. Do a WhatsApp call. Whatever it is. But connect with people, yeah.
Right. So you can be physically distant, but it doesn't mean that you can't connect using technology and using other ways, right?
Exactly. And you know, you could connect today with anyone across the globe. know, and you really want to do that. I even tell people, my clients even, I say, check on your friends, you know, pick up the phone, give somebody a call and say, how are you doing with all of that? And you'd be surprised how that actually affects you very positively as well. Now, just pick up the phone and every day call a friend you haven't spoken to for some time. Every day, just call one person and you'll have zero depression. So it's really powerful.
Every once in a while, you know, I will disturb Jeevan Sadevan, you know, just to amuse myself.
Oh, nice. Like some people don't connect with you.
Okay, step one, call Jeevan.
So let's get in. I mean, here's the thing now. So entrepreneurs, employees, everybody out there, you want to be successful. It's the second half of the year. It's time to get there and start to become very, very successful and thrive despite the continuing pandemic. Thrive. So how do you do that? There's seven steps. I've got a very powerful framework. I put a system here together. So these seven steps, they'll apply to any area of your life. Okay, so let's go through one by one. Step one, first step. So the first step, step one is decision. Now, what is this? You need to make a decision. You need to decide what you want in life or what you want in a partner or what you want in your sales or in your job or in a year or in the next 6 months. You need to be decisive. So the very first step for you, if you want to thrive and you want to be successful, you need to be decisive. One of the worst things you could ever do for your life is to drift. Mm. Drifting is one of the worst things you could ever do. You know, it's like a piece of wood in the water drifting wherever the current pulls it. Don't drift in your life. Any area where you're drifting, you'll find this, you're not getting success in that area. So the first step is make a decision. Have a definite purpose. Decide what is it that you want, you know, whether it's your career or whether it's your job or your marketing strategy. Or so like I'll ask a client, I say, look, what's your decision for this year? What's your goal for the business? They go, well, I want to make more money, but that's not a decision. A decision would be, okay, I want to clock in 3 million in revenues. That's a decision. You see, so you decide and the key here is be clear, choose. Human beings have free will. So we need to exercise that free will and make that decision, you know, and that's the first step. So decide in any area of your life, whether it's your finances or whether it's in your relationships or in your health, make a decision. And, you know, writing it down, of course, would help a lot. And then that gets you to see the decision clearly. But I find most problems in people is because they haven't made a decision. You can take a look at this. For example, yeah, let's say you want to buy a car and you really can't decide if you want the Toyota or the Honda, the BMW or the Mercedes. You're under stress. So when you can't decide, you're like, oh gosh, which one should I get? Then that's a lot of stress. But if you decide and say, look, this is it, I'm getting the BMW 5 Series and that's that, then you find suddenly you get really focused. And so there are parts of the brain that actually work on this. There's a part of the brain called the reticular activating system that actually helps you find whatever you focus on. That's why, for example, if you buy a black Toyota Camry, suddenly you notice every single person out there is driving a black Toyota Camry. Because once you decide on something, your RAS or your reticular activating system kicks in and helps you find everything that supports that decision. So that's the first step, very critical step. You've got to decide in anything. So take a piece of paper out or an exercise book or your iPads and you just write it all down. What is it that you want in the next 6 months? And I would start with that. I'd start with the next 6 months as we finish the year. The next couple of months, as we finish the year, five to six months, and you know, have about five or six goals that you want to achieve.
Decide, don't drift.
That's right, don't drift. Just don't drift. So that's the first step. Then comes the second step. Now, the second step is commitment. So once you've made a decision, make a commitment to get that. Make a commitment. So that's your signature to the contract. So commitment is critical. So when you make a commitment to a goal, powerful forces come into play and you start moving forward very quickly. You know, most people, they'll make a decision, okay, going to lose weight or this or that, but they don't make a commitment to take the next few steps. So you want to now make a commitment and start to rearrange your environment to support that decision. Make that commitment. You know, if you, for example, made a decision to buy a car, you want to make the commitment to raise the down payment. You want to make that commitment. So if you made a decision to increase your revenues to, say, 5 million, you want to make a commitment to recruit staff. You want to make a commitment to plan out your marketing and things like that. So the second step is also a very critical step. You're going to make a commitment. So this supports your decision. These are the building blocks of your decision. Now that you've got the decision, you need to put the foundation in place. And that's your commitment. You're going to make a commitment. Most people, they get the first step right. You know, they make a very good decision. But they don't have the commitment to support it. I give a very good example. I had a client who wanted to stop smoking. They say, so he made a decision to stop smoking. I said, look, I said, so what's the commitment you're going to do? So one of the commitments made was, is to stop going to pubs, because that's usually where he smokes. So he goes, stop going to pubs and you know, smoke, because you usually have a drink, alcohol or that, and you start smoking. The other commitment he made was to give up coffee, because that's the other thing that triggers him wanting to smoke, was when he drinks coffee. So he started drinking herbal teas. So this is interesting, you know, because he started making the commitment, he eventually gave up smoking completely.
Right.
And you see, so he made a commitment in the direction of his decision.
And so, the pandemic helped because all the pubs are closed.
Yeah, there you go. So everybody out there, I mean, once you've made that decision, start making a commitment in the direction of your decision. And that's going to help you tremendously. So that's step two, making commitment.
Okay, we're talking about the seven steps for entrepreneurs and employees to thrive despite the continuing pandemic. I'm here with Jeevan Sadevan from Leverage Lab. Stay tuned to Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Building Future Malaysia. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
You're listening to Enterprise. Good morning. This is Frida Liu. If you've just joined us, it is the first Monday of the month, and Jeevan Sadevan from Leverage Lab joins us once again. We're talking about the seven steps for entrepreneurs and employees to thrive despite the continuing pandemic. Seven steps we've discussed. The first two, step one is to decide. Step two, step one is to decide. Step two is to commit. What's step three?
To make a commitment. So step three, now that you've made a decision on what are the five or six things you want until the end of the year, and you've started making commitments to achieving that decision, the next step, step three, is planning. So here's where you plan. You plan your day, you plan your week, you plan your month, you plan your year, you plan the balance of the year. You start planning everything. Now, there's a three-letter word that separates winners from losers. So there's a three-letter word that separates a winner from a loser. And what's that? How. So planning is about the how. So okay, you've made a decision that you want something, you want a couple of things, and you've made a commitment to go and get it. Now, how are you going to do that? So that's where planning comes in. So you can use tools, you know, you could use a planner, a physical planner, you could use apps, you can use paper, pieces of paper, you can use devices, you can have a whiteboard in your office where you track everything. But how are you going to do it? So you want to work out the how. Don't leave that to chance. You know what you want and you know why you want it. You made that commitment, but now you want to know the how, the planning. So this is often a missing ingredient in a lot of success. Many people don't get success simply because they haven't figured out how they're going to get it. So what are all the critical things that they're going to do? So that's step three. You're working out the how. You're going as much detail as you can. So at this stage, you're going micro. You're going micro and you're looking at all the details, looking at how, okay, you know, what are the strategies I'll put in place? How often will I run these strategies? How much budget will I allocate to each of the strategies? Who will be the people that's going to help me with each of the strategies? So you're working out all, you're planning it all out. So that's step three. Then comes step four, preparation. So now that you've made a decision on what are the goals you want to achieve for the rest of the year, you made a commitment to get out there and achieve those goals by rearranging your entire environment, and you've started planning out everything you know how, now you've got to prepare for the journey that you've planned. You've got to prepare for the journey and you've got to begin to schedule things. So this one, right, is a four-letter word. It's when. So when are you going to do all those things you said you're going to do? All the house to put in place. When are you going to execute everything? So when are you going to start to kick it all off? So you're starting to prepare. Preparation is important. Preparation is a critical ingredient in success. And, you know, winners don't just win, they prepare to win. So this is very important. You see this in sports all the time. The preparation is what causes the winning. So this is very, very important.
It was something you said very interesting. You said the environment. You said about preparing your environment, right? That's also an important factor. You got to make sure that you set yourself up for success, right? But when in terms of your preparation,
manufacture an environment that helps you win, you know. And it can be as simple as, you know, clearing your desk, cleaning up your house, you know, making sure you've got the sufficient internet bandwidth to do all the Zooms you need to do. You know, preparation is the critical thing, and your environment plays a very large part, and that even includes friends. You know, the kind of people you allow into your environment, you know, are there some toxic people that keep shooting down your goals? Should you minimize contact with such people? Are there staff that shouldn't be on your team? Are there staff that should be on your team that you should recruit? So all this is, these things are falling under preparation, which is step four. And now we start getting into the interesting steps.
Ooh, okay, you're not interesting now. No, but earlier you said something as well. This was, I think, in step three, planning, right? I mean, there's certain things I want to do. I actually put it in my calendar, you know, an hour that I should be doing this, right? And it's just, and the commitment to then go and meet that, you know, during that hour to just put, you know, put some emphasis.
And you got to prepare for it, Frida. So let's, as an example, say, okay, you've planned to go for a morning run at, say, 6 in the morning, okay? But you didn't prepare. Your clothes aren't ready. Your shoes aren't ready. You wake up in the morning like, forget it, you know? You go back to bed. So listen, you're not prepared. So you should have, everything should be ready, you know? So you get up, you can just go, you know? You can just hit the road running. So this is sometimes the thing that trips many people. They're just not prepared for all those things that they said they want to do. They're just not prepared for it. So that's why step four is such an important step. I mean, you can look at the flow of the steps. First step, decision. You've got to make the decision. Nothing happens until you make a decision. Second step, you've got to make the commitment. You've got to engineer everything so that it supports your decision. Third step, you've got to start to plan the how. How are you going to go about doing it? Fourth step, now that you know how you're going to go about doing it, you've got to start to prepare. Prepare your journey. Prepare for the journey. And then we come to step five. Step five, the juicy part is execution. At some point, you got to execute, man. At some point, you just got to do it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's not just fluff, you know. You can't just make it look good and then say, okay, that's it. I go back to bed now. At some point, you got to cook the food.
I already feel so good. Really,
Exactly. You decided what you want to make, a chicken curry. You got the chicken. You got the
potatoes. I didn't know how to cook it.
Everything's out there. It's all cut and all ready. And then you decide, you know what? Let me just order some Grab food. You know, you've got to execute, you know, you just got to do it. I once executed a fish curry. It was pretty horrible because I never prepared. I just put everything in it. You know, so it's not a good idea to just put everything in it. You've got to plan and prepare. So God knows what sort of fish curry I created. So execution is all about actions. And here's where you're going to take daily actions, weekly actions, monthly actions, even hourly actions, big actions, small actions, specific actions, forward-moving actions. But let me give you a little major tip here, actually, a very important tip. So sometimes I often hear people talk about, I'm going to 10x it, I'm going to take massive actions, I'm going to take all the big actions and all that stuff. Great, but you got to understand something. Consistency is the backbone of all the actions. You've got to be consistent. So sometimes it's not about big, small, medium, or whatever. It's about consistency, you know. It is better to be consistent than it is to be brilliant.
I'm consistently inconsistent.
Consistently inconsistent. You're confusing the whole world out there now. So this is the thing, you know. But this is the thing. When you realize that and you're consistent, even if you take small actions, but you're consistent, you will win. You will always trump the person who's trying to be brilliant. The consistent man will always outperform the brilliant man. And this is amazing because let's take something as simple as just going for an evening walk. You just go for a half an hour walk and you listen to some podcast like Jeevan's radio shows, you listen to that. And you do it for half an hour. But what happens if you did it for 5 years? What can you imagine your health, the state of your mind, the state of your health? It's amazing. I tell people, I say, do you realize the power of consistency? There's something called, in economics, we call it the compound effect. So if you consistently do something, there's a compound effect many months down the road. You don't see it initially.
Right.
But the compound effect comes in. Just like, for example, if you consistently put aside 30% of your gross income and you invest it every single month, in 5 years, you're looking at a whole palace of wealth. You know, so you want to pay attention when it comes to execution and all the actions that you take. Keep in mind the spirit of consistency. You know, and I like the story about Socrates, the famous ancient Greek philosopher. And so one day there was this guy walking about in Greece. In those days, you know, they just walked about without COVID. So he was just walking about and he saw Socrates and he asked Socrates, hey, how do I get to Mount Olympus? Now, Socrates is a huge, big fella. You know, he's probably ate a lot of chicken every day. He's a huge guy. So he carried him and he lifted him up and he put him down and he pointed at the mountain and said, you see that mountain over there? The guy goes, yeah. Make sure every step you take is in that direction.
Right.
And, you know, that's what it is. You know, that's the kind of the consistency mindset that you want to have. You know, that every step you take is in the direction of the decisions you've made, of the commitment that you've made, the planning and preparation and everything. So execution is a critical step. And keep consistency as the spirit of execution. Don't lose heart as you execute. You know, your weight loss doesn't happen in a day. You got to be consistent. You know, diets fail sometimes because of the lack of consistency in anything. So in anything in life, you know, you want to be consistent. If you want your wife to love you more, you could be consistent in being good to her. So not just once and you're done for the year. So it's not like that. You want to be closer to your kids.
I said I love you on the wedding day. That changed my mind.
You're kind of like, hey, you know, but I said I loved you 20 years ago. Why have you forgotten? No, it doesn't really work like that. You want to be consistent. You know, you can't just drink water in the beginning of the week and say, I've done it. I've had enough water now. That doesn't really work. Even if you had 5 liters, you know, you still need some water on Friday. So that's step five. And then we go to step six. You know, you can't run away from step six. And most people, when I do this framework with them, they don't like step six. Step six is review. This one's feedback. Feedback from what? From everywhere. I mean, many people just don't like reviewing, especially politicians. People just don't like to review. They just don't want to review. They just want to hope that everything they did was right. So they just don't want to review. So you want to review, you want to pay attention. You know, there's no point climbing a ladder efficiently and effectively if the ladder's on the wrong wall. So you got to review, you know, it's like a fly hitting at the window, trying to get out, not realizing the door's open behind it. You know, you want to review, you could be doing some absolute nonsense. What's a better way? Keep asking yourself, what's a better way to do this? You know, when I work strategies with my clients, I'm telling them, hey, let's review. You know, when we launch campaigns, every 6 months or so, we're reviewing, we're looking at you know, the source and origin of all the leads, we're looking at the budget spend, we're looking at the way we're getting past customers to come back, and we're doing all these things. You got to review. Review your methods because, you know, sometimes maybe it's not the entire method that's a problem. It could be a tactic within the method. It could be something.
Right,
like,
right.
For example, so you're going for a run and you find that, hey, you're running every day for half an hour, but you're not really losing weight. So you got to do a review because you might suddenly realize that you're having 5 pizzas when you come home, and that's not really working. So it's sabotaging all the gains made from the run. And I've seen this happen in a lot of cases. Like a strategy could be run well, but they're doing something else that could sabotage the gain of the strategy.
And I think it's like when you do something and you're not getting the results you want, you'd really need to review. Like,
yeah, don't just switch it off.
Yeah. You know, like for me, it was like the toughest thing. I mean, just like personally, right? Just exercising every day and then thinking that I watch my food. And I was like, why am I not losing weight, right? And then after that, I had to speak to a nutritionist and I said, okay, that monitors my diet. Then after that, I had to get my blood tested. And just to find out, oh yeah, you know, I've come to that point where my, you know, it's at that stage in my life where estrogen has gone down or gone up, whatever, which affects my metabolic rate, right? So then I'm going to look at what do I need to do to change my metabolic rate. But really, you know, if you're not getting the results you want, something is not happening.
Correct. You know, I mean, it could be a thyroid problem. It could be
anything. Yeah, exactly.
And people sometimes beat themselves up and say, hey, you know, it's the exercise. It's just, I need a better type. But hang on, you got to review the whole process. You got to review everything. And this is the same thing in financial planning, marketing strategies, in staff recruitment, in sales, and for an employee, for instance, it could be the same thing in the way in which you carry out your job. You might want to review it and say, hey, is there a better way I can do this job and get it done faster, better, more effectively? So reviewing is such a beautiful step. It's just that people don't like it because, you know, you got to be brutal. So the formula for reviewing is be brutal and objective when you review. Now, just tell yourself, look, yeah, I know my cheesecake is really good and I think it's really good, but, you know, but nobody seems to be buying it. Maybe it's not that great after all. So review. So reviewing is a critical thing. And then you come to the final step, step seven, which, you know, the one that many people struggle with. So step seven is recommitment. You got to get up and go again. So like, you know, then Rocky Six, I think it was in Rocky Six, Rocky Balboa. So there's this one part when he was getting bashed to the ground and then he remembers what Mick says. He says, not how many times you get hit, And then you fall, that counts, but it's how many times you get up, how many times you get back up, and he gets back up and bashes the guy again. Rocky's really good, you know. But so that's the thing, you know. You got to recommit sometimes, even on a daily basis. I mean, yeah, it's like let's look at weight loss as an example. You know, it doesn't just happen at one time. You got to recommit again. It's a marriage of commitment. You know, it's like a happy marriage. You got to recommit every day. Happily ever after doesn't happen just after the wedding day. You know, it's a recommitment. You got to recommit. So you got to recommit to everything you said you would do. You know, that getting up in the morning, going for that run, that launching of the campaign when nobody responded, that you know, recruitment when you recruited badly and you're like, oh gosh, what happened? You recruit again. You know, you train the team again when they got it wrong. You train them again. You do some customer service again when you got it wrong. You recommit. You know, so I say this, look, if you can take anything like, say, your MBA thesis, it doesn't happen in a week. You could be typing out your thesis. I remember when I was doing my MBA thesis, you know, I had to recommit every single week because, you know, you get exhausted, you get tired, and then it's done. And then the next thing you know, the whole thing is done. So recommitment is, and marriage is always the best example because, you know, you want a happy marriage, you've got to just recommit to all the things that makes it happy on a daily basis. Diet's another example. If you want to have a healthy body, you've got to recommit all the things that would create that healthy body. You know, it's not just, oh, you do it once. So the recommitment is a big thing. And here's something I want to add on. Now, this is mind-blowing if you really understand this. And some people need to really digest it when I say this. And here's what it is. Consciousness. Now, when you do the recommitment, so here's something I want to pick up. There's a little bit of metaphysics here. But what I mean is this. You must develop the consciousness of that thing that you want. So, for example, let's say you want to increase your net worth from maybe it's a 500,000 net worth or it's a 5 million net worth. Then you want to go to 20 million or you want to go to 1 million or 5 million. You must develop the consciousness of a person at that net worth, whichever net worth you want to go. For example, let's say now you want to lose 20 kgs and you're 100 kgs and you want to come down to 80 kgs. You must develop the consciousness of a person at 80 kgs. Stephen Covey mentioned it really well in his book, Seven Habits, by saying, be, do, have. So whatever you want to have in life, no matter, of course, you've got to do a lot of things. But what's more important is you've got to be that which you want to have. This is amazing when you understand this. Like, for example, when I get some clients who come in and they want wealth, the challenge is sometimes if a person has been poor all their life, they don't even know what wealth looks like. So I would actually sometimes give them a very strange exercise by saying, look, I want you to take some money and go and stay in a 5-star hotel for a weekend. To stay in a really nice place and experience spending some money because you want that consciousness. You want to develop that consciousness. So recommitment is also about being that goal, developing that consciousness and where you're constantly in that consciousness of the goal. When you really understand this, then you find you will automatically do the things that you want to do. And one of the best examples I give you is one of my clients, a doctor, and he said this. He said, his overweight patients and his slim patients, the fat patients and the slim patients, they both say something very interesting. So the person who's overweight will say, "Sir doctor, whatever I eat, I still put on weight." And then the one that's slim will say, "Doctor, no matter what I eat, I still lose weight." You see the consciousness that's surfacing in both of them? It's very interesting, you know, there's a consciousness there. And so my question to people is, when you pursue a goal, a decision, where is your consciousness? Is your consciousness still at your current position where you do not have that decision, or is your consciousness already at the decision? You will get it faster. So become that which you want. So in recommitment, that's what it's about. It's about being that which you already want and keep pushing that forward. This is really, really powerful. And a good way to do it is to visualize. Keep visualizing yourself, experiencing your goal, living your goal. For example, you want to buy a beautiful, say, a 5-series BMW. Visualize yourself driving that BMW, you know, parking it, getting out of it, playing music as you go up Cameron Highlands, things like that. So that consciousness enters into you and the recommitment gets easier and then you smash it. So these are the seven steps, and you can get success in anything you want. Step one, decision. Make that decision of what it is that you want. Step two, commitment. Engineer an environment and to demonstrate the commitment to your decision. Step three, planning. Plan it all out. Know the how, the magic three-letter word, how. How are you going to get it? Step four, preparation. Prepare to win. Otherwise, you won't win. Prepare. Get everything, all the ingredients for the cake ready so you can bake the cake. Step five, execution. Bake that cake. You know, execute it. Step six, review. Review everything to make sure that you're on the right path. And finally, recommitment. Step seven. With these seven steps, you can thrive. Despite this continuing pandemic, it's going to take a while before we beat this pandemic. And whilst it's happening, these are the seven steps that can get a person success.
Seven steps for entrepreneurs and employees to thrive despite the continuing pandemic. I've been speaking to Jeevan Sahadevan from Leverage Lab. He'll be with us again the first Monday of next month. You've been listening to Enterprise EFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.